Item 5, which is the Fire Service Inspection Improvement Action Plan, an item that we asked the Fire Rescue Service to report back on us when we met on the 7th of January this year. It seemed a very long time ago. Mr. Apter is with us, I hope, and it is in the name of both yourself and the Leader of the Council. Mr. Apter, is there anything you would want to say to briefly introduce this item, and then then I'll invite the Leader to say anything he wishes. Otherwise, we'll move on to questions.
Thank you, Chair, and I really do appreciate yours and scrutiny members' opportunity to move up the agenda. COVID seems to be taking over everybody's timetable. By way of introduction of the paper, 7th of January, as you say, Chair, I presented a midway review of the action plan that had come out from the Her Majesty's inspection of the Olive Oil Fire and Rescue Service the previous year. Shortly after the 7th of January, and prior to COVID and the pandemic, we were informed of a further inspection likely to take place, and that was due to take place back in April of this year, of the Olive Oil Service, Fire and Rescue Service. For obvious reasons, that did not take place. So this report is the close down report of the original inspection over a year ago now, 18 months ago. But just to bring members up to speed with the ongoing dialogue, and this is referenced in the report, but I'm just giving you a bit more of an up-to-date information. It's highly likely now that the timetable for future inspections will be post-April 2021, which will mean it won't be an individual inspection of the Isle of Wight Fire and Rescue Service or Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service. It will be of the new combined fire service post-April 2021. That's the first thing to note. So therefore, in terms of me reporting back this way, this is probably although I'm always more than happy to come back to scrutiny, but obviously the circumstances will be different. The second piece that may well become more relevant to Olive Oil Council is HMI have indicated they are likely to do some form of inspection yet to be set out in detail of COVID preparedness within the Fire and Rescue Service. I know they are also considering, because it's Her Majesty's Inspector of the Constabulary as well as the Fire Service, they're looking at both police and fire COVID preparedness. And if that does take place, then they will look at, whilst it's being coordinated centrally, they will obviously look at the excellent work that the Fire and Rescue Service has done and delivered on the island during this challenging time. So that's just a bit of an update, Chair, in terms of the HMI process and the inspection that we can look forward to. In terms of the report, I'm really proud and pleased to talk about the progress we've made, and in terms of the outstanding actions, you will note in the report those actions have been closed now. What I do want to emphasise, and then I'll stop, is that doesn't mean we ceased in that improvement work. The cause for concern, particularly around some of the issues around a more diverse and inclusive employer, that work will continue for years. That will become part of the ongoing activities forever and a day. So, but the activity that was closed down was recognising it hadn't been prioritised as it should have been. So I'll stop there, Chair, and be happy to take any questions. Obviously, hand over to the Leader at that point.
Thank you very much, Mr. Apter, for that. Leader of the Council, it's also in your name. Do you wish to add anything to those comments before I open to questions?
Just a couple of things that have put us in context to the report. Members are probably already aware I attend and have attended several meetings of the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Fire Authority, of which I represent the island, and I am a shadow member, member of the Shadow Combined Fire Authority, which will come into existence next year. That board is chaired by Councillor Chris Carter from Hampshire, and he and I have a regular dialogue. On top of that, in July of this year, I was re-elected chair of the Police and Crime Panel, and through that body, I monitor the activities of the Police and Crime Commissioner. So, Steve rightly highlighted the role of police and fire as a body that's going forward, and fortunately I think the island is well placed. I think the other highlight I just wanted to make on the body of the report, C5517, you get a brief outline of the high potential scheme that the fire service is now running, which our other white firefighters can be part of. And he highlights at 6.1 that even on the issues that were coming up in terms of the inspections, remote engagement is now beginning to take place through telephone calls and video conferencing with our staff. And I feel this just reflects that although perhaps some of these inspections aren't happening, the fire service have their hand on the whole range of things, and I'm really grateful to Mr. Apter for the work that he and his team are doing. Thank you, Jack.
Chair, can I just add on that point, just to emphasise in terms of engagement, I personally have taken part in Teams meetings with every fire station on the island, and physically have met, albeit with the appropriate social distancing, with crews at Ryde and at Newport over recent weeks. And it's fair to say there's been a significant improvement not just in morale, but in the way the teams on the island have engaged and worked with the community and with other partners. And I have to say, in terms of those extra duties during the period of COVID, you know, driving ambulances, some of the more difficult tasks of being prepared, ready for body recovery, and the more challenging parts of dealing with this sad situation, I've been nothing but incredibly proud of the crews on the Isle of Wight, and they continue to provide their service. And this week, the retained on-call firefighters have returned back to stations to continue their training. They've been doing online training all the way through, but just to give that assurance to members, the physical training has been reinstated as of this week.
Thank you both for those introductions, and then certainly I'm sure on behalf of the committee, we're all incredibly grateful to everyone who has been part of fronting up to the extra challenges of COVID-19, and not least, of course, your service as well, and that is a credit to all of you, and I'm sure you know that, but it goes repeating. We are all incredibly grateful to everybody who has done that. Members, do you have any questions? Councillor Andre.
Thank you, Chair. I hope that you can all hear me. Yes, I'm absolutely delighted to receive this comprehensive report and update, which does prove that we have come a long way. One thing, Chair, that I can't see a mention of, and I do apologise if I've missed this, but I know that the unions were very much involved, certainly at the start of this process, but I can't see any mention, and I appreciate that the direct contact has been made with stations and with officers there, which is great, but I think it's absolutely vital for the service to succeed that the unions are brought along with it. So I would like, yes, I'd like some comments on that, please. Thank you.
Mr. Apter.
Chair, if I may, Councillor, it's a really, really good question, and my apologies for not making that clear. We've maintained dialogue. In fact, dialogue has intensified with the unions, as I'm sure you can imagine, right from the start. So whilst this is a paper about HMI and the unions have been actively involved throughout that process, I think what COVID has provided us is a very different landscape for dialogue. So very early on, at a national level, the Fire Brigade Union, the National Fire Chiefs Council and the LGA, the employers, came together with an idea to establish a framework, a tripartite agreement, and they established an agreement at a national level, which then it saved 46 different services negotiating to undertake an activity. What that enabled me at a local level across Hampshire, both Hampshire FBU and the Isle of Wight FBU and the other rep bodies, was then to work on the collectively around risk assessments and agreed methods of working. And that's been incredibly, well, it's a model I hope we take into business as usual the other side. And challenging, particularly when you're up against it in terms of time. But I have to say, The trade unions on the Isle of Wight, the rep bodies, have been phenomenal. Pragmatic, supportive, challenging, appropriately, but it's that dialogue continues and has continued throughout, both informally and formally. So that's a really good comment. Thank you.
Thank you. I very much appreciate that, and I'm very reassured by that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rector. I now have Councillor Lilly, and then it will be Councillor Quirk.
Thank you. First thing, I wish to thank the Fire Service for its great work. At our previous meetings, we did talk about mental health, and you had a whole programme put forward on mental health within the service. I do know that you've, and I wish to congratulate you, because I do know you've trained 17 mental health first aiders, and also know that you've got six trained, what we call TRIM, which is to do with trauma, within that. So I wish to congratulate, actually, the service for taking mental health extremely seriously. And my question is how can the Fire Service contribute, particularly with now their proven expertise on post-traumatic stress, actually help the need for our community that is actually going to be extremely traumatised because of COVID-19?
So again, a really good point, and you're well briefed, Councillor. But I can go further. I'm really proud to say we've done even more very early on in COVID. So firstly, I've now become the executive champion for mental health. So we've got a champion sponsor, if you like, at every level of leadership throughout the organisation. As you'll know, if I haven't made it clear before, it's something I'm particularly passionate about myself. What we've also introduced, I was very conscious, a lot of the work we've done, the mental health first aid, TRIM, is fantastic, but it reacts to events. And we were very conscious that for all of us during COVID, many of us have lost the normal coping mechanisms that we would use, whether it's from a traumatic incident, you know, we go home, we go out with mates, you go to the pub, you know, you go for a walk, you meet family. Well, we haven't had that. So we've worked with a company, and we've piloted a piece of work around mental health resilience, which is building coping strategies before the event. That's been all done through Teams and virtual, and that's really landed well. So we're starting to roll that out right across the organisation, Hampshire and Isle of Wight. And that's something that I think adds another strength, and it links to the point you make, which is how do we then help further that within communities. And that's something I've escalated through the strategic coordinating group and worked with Simon Bryant and others around how do we link that, some of our learning, our experience, with that of colleagues from the other Blue Light Services and other agencies. So I think that's the long term, and that will sit within the recovery groups of how we help communities to be resilient as well as organisations going forward. So it's very much on our radar.
Thank you. A very good answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rector. Councillor Quirk.
Question for Steve. You mentioned that you had your socially distanced face-to-face meetings with a couple of the fire stations, but they're the fire stations that have full-time firemen. Will you be extending that to the retained services?
Yeah, so the reason I was able to, one, because I live on the island, I was able to call into Newport and to ride. One was we had a retained firefighter retiring after 35 years, Chris Philippe at Newport. I was really proud to go and present his certificate, which was unusual given the crews were all socially distanced. So that was a physical meeting because of the duties, although that was the on-call crews actually, because they came in for Chris. The on-call stations, the retained firefighters, haven't physically been coming to the stations at all up until this week. I stopped that very early on as part of our mitigation and control. So physically not being able to go to stations because they weren't there. So we've done that virtually. Now they're back, as I say, as of last night, the first drill nights were held last night. that we can start to timetable those physical visits in. We've got the first Ireland Leadership Forum, physical forum, next week or the week after. That's just gone into my diary. So again, we can start to physically engage and do the face-to-face with those firefighters. And that's just a point there. We've had a number of firefighters retire during this period of lockdown, and we haven't had the traditional, we've not been able to say goodbye properly, but we have established that at our Celebrating Success Awards later this year, we will be acknowledging all those who've retired, and I can only imagine there's going to be one hell of a retirement party somewhere on the island. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Apter. Colleagues, are there any others who wish to ask questions or make points? Otherwise, we can move to a vote on the recommendations. I see no requests for that in the chat bar. So we're asked, there are two recommendations that have been suggested to us on page C6. I'll read those out. First of which is that the completion of all 25 actions and thereby 8 diagnostics within the IWFRS HMICFRS action plan is noted, and the closure of the action plan approved by the Corporate Scrutiny Committee. And the second recommendation is that the Corporate Scrutiny Committee acknowledges the extent of the work and improvements that have been undertaken to address the cause for concern. I will move those both from the chair and seek a second. Councillor Quirk, thank you very much. I'll take a formal vote for this one. So the way in which we do that is that I call your name in order and you declare either for or against or abstain. I'll take it from the order that's on the front of the agenda. So for myself, for. Councillor Andre.
For, Chair.
Councillor Churchman.
Okay, yes.
Four, there from Councillor Chapman. Councillor Hollis.
Four.
Councillor Lilly.
Four.
Councillor Millwall.
Four.
Councillor Quirk.
Four.
Councillor Tyndall. Councillor Tyndall, you are muted at the moment. If not, I'll call Councillor Kennett.
Four.
And I do not know about Councillor Tyndall at the moment, but that is clear.
I'm here now.
Excellent.
And I'm four.
Excellent. So that is unanimous, and I think that is absolutely right. This is it's an excellent report in the first place that it was, despite all else that was going on, the service already had this pretty much written ahead of us, reminding them that it was needed, so that was great. It's also extremely readable, very easy to digest, and that's commendable. And the final point I will note before we move on and let you go, Mr. Apter, is I noted particularly the phrase landscape for dialogue and your point about taking this learning into your business as usual, and I think that's something everyone involved in public service will be trying to emulate as well. This terrible situation has allowed everybody to meet those challenges and exceed them and learn and grow together, and it's great to hear that's happened within the service and that learning will go onwards. So we will let you go now, Mr. Apter, and thank you very much for your time, and maybe we will see you one more time before you are combined.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thank you. So, colleagues, we can now move back to item 4 on our agenda. That is